Hi there, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us in person Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 o'clock in downtown Tulsa, or check out our webpage at tulsafbc.org. God bless you, and have a great week. So this summer, June, July, and August, we are going to spend our time in the heart of Scripture. On Wednesday night, I'll be leading a study through the Psalms, the first 20 Psalms in particular, as they move from pain to praise, and we'll be learning about prayer on Wednesday nights. And on Sunday mornings, in our online services included, we're going to be in the book of Proverbs. And I see prayer and Proverbs, Psalms and Proverbs, working in tandem and in tension with one another. Think about it. The Psalms teach us how to talk to God. The Proverbs teach us how to listen to God as we receive His counsel into our lives. Prayer is pouring ourselves out to the Lord. It is good to feel things. Proverbs is God pouring Himself into us. It's good for us to think about things. Both have to do with authenticity, the Psalms and us being who we really are before God, and the Proverbs teaching us who we should really be in this life. So let's spend our summer in the very heart of Scripture during this summer 2021. And so with the book of Proverbs, the big word that we associate with that book is the word wisdom. And I think it would be helpful, before we do anything else, to clearly define what that word means. And I've used a rather mechanical definition before, and maybe you've heard it, that wisdom is doing the right thing at the right time for the right reasons. I love those three qualities, those three characteristics, because you want to do the right thing, but then oftentimes doing the right thing is a matter of also doing it the right time. To do the right thing at the wrong time, you got to read the room, see what's happening. But then to do it for the right reasons, this is the internal motivation. So while I like that definition, it is rather mechanical. For a bit more of a poetic definition, Kenneth Boas says this, that wisdom is living with skill, skillful living. I love that. I love that idea. That definition just carries some weight in how we are to live skillfully throughout our lives. So in 2001, Barry Bonds, the slugger from the San Francisco Giants, he had busted through Babe Record's seasonal home run record, 60 home runs. He was well past that. It was projected he would be into the 70s by the end of the season, and he was. He ended that season with 73 home runs. Now, of course, it was later revealed he was most likely using steroids. There's an asterisk, and I believe it probably should be just dumped from the records of baseball. But at the time, it was a really big deal, and there was a special emphasis on who would catch that very last ball of the season. Alex Popoff wanted to be that man. And so he studied the flight path of every home run that Barry Bonds had ever hit. And one of the last games of the season, he bought a seat in the section where he felt there was a home run. It would be right there. He bought a big softball glove to catch the baseball. Believe it or not, Barry Bonds hit a ball right to Alex Popoff. He reached up and he caught it, and it was his for just a moment. Of course, people mobbed him. He dropped the ball, and a man named Patrick Hayashi ended up with the baseball. So now the question is, who owns that baseball? Who has the right to it? Was it the first person to touch it or the final person to hold it? And of course, you know where this is going. In America, everything ends with a lawsuit. Every disagreement ends with a lawsuit, so it went to court. So I think about this, and how do we handle that kind of situation? Who's right, who's wrong, and who is to tell the difference? You know, in the Bible, certain people are associated with certain characteristics. Moses was the lawgiver. David was the writer of the Psalms. Solomon is known for wisdom. He is known for the Proverbs. And maybe we could have used Solomon in that situation, much as two women who were contesting a baby that he said we should cut the baby in half. Maybe Solomon should come along and cut the baseball in half and solve the problem. Or maybe the wisdom found in Proverbs cuts more deeply. Maybe it's not about the baseball at all. What Solomon might teach us and what the Scripture teaches us is skillful living. you know what? While other people are fighting over a baseball, what we really need to think about is how much greed has harmed our heart. While other people are fighting over possession, we need to realize that sometimes you can win, but what you win can't really replace what you lose. Both of the men involved in the lawsuit compromised their financial future. One even went bankrupt over a baseball. Think about wisdom cuts through so many things that we say, maybe my integrity is worth more than money. So here's what Tim Keller says about the book of Proverbs. He says what the book of Proverbs reminds us is that you've never thought enough about anything. I think that is absolutely right. And so what the book of Proverbs does is it encourages us to think deeply and to embrace skillful living. So here's a challenge I want to give you this summer. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs for June, July, and August. I would encourage you, and I would ask you as a pastor and to help us form spiritually, read one proverb a day. Take the day of the month, and then that corresponding chapter in the book of Proverbs, just read it. So you'll read through the book of Proverbs 3 times this summer. And maybe, just maybe, as God speaks to us, as we learn what wisdom is, we can become more skillful in living. So we're going to start in the middle today. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 9, because what this passage does, and we'll look at it here in just a moment, it personifies wisdom. And wisdom is personified as a woman, as a female. And you just think about this. You know, we personify freedom in Lady Liberty, the Statue of Liberty. We personify a grit during wartime with Rosie the Riveter, right? So the book of Proverbs really is a part of that same tradition of personifying wisdom, and the embodiment is in that of a woman. And what I would encourage you to do is I would encourage you to think about the wisest woman that you know. And as we read this personification, put that person from your memory onto the scripture. Maybe it's your mom. Maybe it's an aunt. Maybe it's a sister or a grandparent or a teacher. Some woman who embodies wisdom and visualize her, and let this image come alive for you. This is Proverbs 9. And what we're going to do is we're going to read 2 passages. We're going to read the first 6 or 7 verses of Proverbs 9. We're going to skip a bit. And we're going to see the personification of wisdom. And we're also going to see the personification of wisdom's opposite. So this is Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has carved out her 7 pillars. She has prepared her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has set her table. She has sent out female servants. She calls out from the highest points of the city, "Whoever is inexperienced, enter here." To the one who lacks sense, she says, "Come and eat my bread and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave an experience behind and you will live. Pursue the way of understanding." So I'm going to explore this image here for just a moment, and I see 2 things. First of all, I see a picture of creation. Okay, we see a picture of a big world. The 7 pillars, I want you to think about that. God created the world in 7 days. According to Hebrews, as they understood the universe at the time, there were 7 planets. There were 7 main bodies in the sky, 5 planets and the sun and moon. So it's a picture of the vastness of creation. So just get a picture. There's a big world out there. This is not only a picture of creation, this is a picture of salvation. Salvation in the Bible is always pictured as a spacious place. I mean, you think about that. Prison is small and confined and cramped. Whereas, and one time in the Psalms it says, "You have set my feet at large." Salvation is seen as a spacious place. So what this proverb, this embodiment of wisdom in this woman is having us picture is just picture the perfect world where everyone walks with God. But if you can't picture that, why don't you picture an imperfect world where you walk with God? Now, we would all love for this to be a perfect world and everybody walk with God, but that's not going to happen. So what do we have? We have this imperfect world where we get to choose to walk with God. And so this woman is giving an invitation to wisdom. So I see one characteristic of wisdom here that is really worth noting, and it's the characteristic of intentionality. This woman, as she invites us to wisdom, she has carved her pillars. She's not just slapped the pillars up. There's architecture and beauty. She has prepared the meats. She has mixed the wine. She has sent out, saved the dates. She has set the table. She has prepared the meal. One of the things my wife, she says this every Thanksgiving. Every Thanksgiving day, we do this big family meal. She works all morning for hours, and we eat it within about 30 minutes. What I try to tell her is your preparation is a part of the celebration, right? And she doesn't buy that. By the way, I'm the one that does all the cleanup afterwards, and so I know a little bit of that pain. But there's a lot of preparation that goes into this meal, this intentionality. Listen, if you want to become a wise person, it's going to be by intentional decision-making. No one ever accidentally became a wise person. It requires intentionality on our part, which means two things, and I've already hinted at one. First of all, you need to make the decision, I want to be a wise person. Then you practice that daily determination to embrace wisdom. I think if we want to become wise, we need to make that once for all decision, but then we make 1,000 micro decisions after that to say, we want to grow as Jesus did in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and people. It's a lot like losing weight. I don't believe in dieting, okay? I don't think that's the best way to go about life, just these sporadic moments of discipline. We need a lifestyle. It's so easy to gain weight, but it's much harder to maintain good health. And that requires a big decision. I'm gonna stay healthy, but then it also requires these thousands of decisions afterwards, these daily decisions to eat the broccoli and not the chocolate, right? Wisdom is the same thing. It requires intentionality. But then here's the result of that. And this, again, comes from this description of this woman. She's very intentional to lay wisdom out. We need to make the decision to embrace it. We need to have the determination to continue on the way of wisdom. Wisdom develops in our life, and what is the result? It creates contentment. I want you to think about the best meal that you've ever eaten. Think about that. You know, some people have different philosophies about food. Some eat to live, and some people live to eat. I'm in the latter category. I love to eat. And wherever my family and I have traveled over the years, we always have identified our favorite spots to eat. So if we're back in that part, we go back to that same restaurant again. One of our favorite places in Oklahoma is Mears Hamburgers out in near Lawton. It's out in western Oklahoma. You don't really go there unless you're kind of passing through. Hamburgers, the size of your plate, but also, man, their peach cobbler with ice cream. What do you do after you eat a really good meal? And saying you don't overdo it, you push back from the table and you go, oh, there's that moment of contentment. Here's the thing about contentment. We will never find it by pursuing it directly. If you set out to become content in life and you pursue contentment or happiness, it will always elude you. Contentment is found by pursuing something else. And what does this say? Wisdom. We pursue wisdom. We try to develop a skill at living. And as we pursue wisdom, that big decision and that daily determination, then contentment will find us. Again, let me make that clear. If you pursue contentment, it will elude you. But if you pursue something else, contentment will find you. So George MacDonald years ago wrote a fairy tale called The Princess and Curdie. In it, the main character, the hero of the story, has the ability that when he touches somebody's hand, he can get a full read and an accurate read on their character. Wouldn't that be a gift to have? So he might touch the hand of a beautiful woman, but instead he feels the claw of a vulture because her character is very, very different from her appearance. Or there's a giant monster, but when he touches the monster's hand, he feels the fingers of a child. Scary on the outside, but this monster is beautiful and gentle on the inside. You know what? I think while we'd all like that kind of gift, I think the first person we need to get a good read on is ourselves. And just for a moment, I want you to stop and look at your life. Are you living intentionally? Have you found contentment? Are you still looking for contentment? My challenge to you is, don't seek contentment, seek wisdom. Let everyone who is inexperienced come here, says wisdom. So now, we have this personification of wisdom, this woman who invites us to live intentionally, who offers us the reward of contentment. But now we're going to look at wisdom's opposite. And again, and the opposite in the Proverbs and in the Bible is folly or foolishness. And again, it's personified as a woman. Now, just as we've defined wisdom as skillful living, I want to give a little working definition of foolishness, and this is a more scriptural definition. Foolishness is simply this, that when anything other than God becomes the center of our lives, when anything besides God becomes the center of our lives, that is living a foolish life. Psalm 14 is not the only time to say this, but Psalm 14 says it once, the fool says in his heart there is no God. So anytime we make the center of our life something other than God, that's how the Bible describes and defines foolishness. So now, foolishness, folly, is again personified as a woman. If you're reading along, this is Proverbs 9, still in the same chapter, but skip down to verse 13. Folly is a rowdy woman. I think I dated her once or twice in college. She is gullible. She knows nothing. She sits by the doorway of her house and on the seat of the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight ahead on their paths. Whoever is inexperienced, enter here. To the one who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten secretly is tasty. But he doesn't know that the departed spirits are there, and her guests go to the depth of the grave. So much as we looked at the characteristic of wisdom, intentionality, and the contentment that comes from that, I want you to see the characteristic here of folly. And it is simply this, instant gratification. This woman is personified as somebody that offers instant gratification. So I want you to think about this, and this just kind of helps in our daily decisions. You have a decision, you have a fork in the road, that a decision you need to make. What I've discovered is the hardest path is usually the right path. The thing that is most difficult is usually the right decision. But what do we often do? We want to do the easy thing. And that ends up being the wrong thing, and it sometimes makes our situations worse. The difficult thing is the right thing. So wisdom is difficult. Folly is easy. Wisdom requires intentionality. Folly is about instant gratification. Listen, it's so much easier to pursue pleasure over purpose. It's so much easier to pursue knowing people rather than knowing God. It's so much easier to pursue reputation. It's harder to pursue character. It's so easy to pursue being clever. It's much harder to pursue wisdom. So here's this characteristic of instant gratification. Do you see it here? That she doesn't offer meat and mixed wine. She offers bread and water. So bread and water will fill you up, but it won't really satisfy you like that sumptuous, scrumptious meal. There's a particular pizza place that my kids always wanted to go when they were growing up. It was a great place to have birthday parties, and I won't tell you the name, but it sounds like chunky cheese, so I'm just going to leave that right there. Whenever we went there, I was never excited about it because I don't like a whole lot of noise, and you're just inundated by this wall of sound from all the games. But the pizza wasn't really good. And I would go there, and I had this experience several times that we would order pizza and I would start eating and it wasn't very good, but I would keep on eating it, hoping it would get better. And it never got better, right? Now, it's a great place to have a party, but it's not for your pizza connoisseurs, right? So every time I left that little birthday place, I was full, but I wasn't satisfied. My instantaneous needs were gratified, but there wasn't any lasting contentment to it. Again, the first person you want to get a read on is yourself. Are you living intentionally or for instant gratification? Are you living and finding contentment, or are you discontent and empty and unsatisfied? Is it time for you to change and pursue wisdom, and you've had enough with folly? I want you to notice that in both of these cases, the two women say exactly the same thing. Come, you who are inexperienced. There's an invitation given here. Several years ago, Sports Illustrated did an article that was meant to be ironic. What they did is they talked about, let me pull up my notes here because I don't want to misquote this. They created a female tennis star named Simona Popova. Okay, then this woman really doesn't exist, okay? But they were trying to be ironic in this article to say Simona Popova, she's a 17-year-old wunderkind from Russia. She's 6'1", blonde, busty, beautiful, all these things. And she won't be at the U.S. Open because her dad won't allow her to play until she's 18. And so the picture that appeared was actually a Photoshop creation. She wasn't a real woman at all. And the letters from the readers were angry. They started writing in saying if she's a superstar, she should be at the U.S. Open. She needs to ignore her dad. And it was just it was meant to be a little bit of an ironic article to talk about how we sexualize female athletes, right? As if Sports Illustrated should be able to talk about that. But it was meant as farce, and nobody really got it, right? Because Simona Popova does not exist. Listen, the woman wisdom and the woman folly really exist. Both are issuing an invitation today. Come, you are inexperienced, follow me. And you get to make the decision which one you will follow today and for the rest of your life. So I love this idea that wisdom and folly are personified as real people. Now let's talk about another real person. So right in the middle of these two descriptions of wisdom and folly, Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Where do you start? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, that is one of the most misunderstood phrases in the Bible, the fear of the Lord, because you just kind of read that at first and you say, well, it sounds like we're supposed to be afraid of God. That's not what that's about. The fear of the Lord is being overwhelmed by God's grandeur and grace. You know, I grew up in a small West Texas town, 80,000 people. To me, that was the whole world growing up. I thought, this is what everyone in the world is like, you know, just like people in my hometown. And then I left there and I've traveled the world. I've lived in several different states. And I now see that there's a much larger world. Maybe for those of you who have grown up in faith and grew up in the church, or maybe those of you who haven't, you see God as being very small. Just as there's a larger world out there, there's a greater God out there. And he is bigger than you think. And he is bigger than you can think. And he is filled with grandeur, and he is filled with grace. And as wisdom is embodied by female, the beginning of wisdom is embodied by man, Jesus Christ. Just as female wisdom says, come to me, those of you who are inexperienced, Jesus, God's Son, says, come to me, all you who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest. How do we start to follow wisdom? It starts, and I would contend that it continues, and I would contend that it ends by following the Lord. As we follow him, we find wisdom. As we follow him, we discover contentment. As we follow him, we discover life. Come to me, says Jesus. That's the beginning of wisdom. And so as we go through the book of Proverbs this summer, we're going to be coming back to Jesus time and time again, because when he came to this earth, it was noted in Luke 2, he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and people. It was noted, and Jesus said this about himself, I am the new Solomon. I bring a new kind of wisdom in how to be skillful in living and skillful with eternal living. And in fact, Paul in 1 Corinthians would on two occasions call Jesus the wisdom of God. So as two or three centuries after Jesus, St. Anthony of the Desert was a monk who lived in the Egyptian desert. And he said this, and I want to read this because I really do like this quote. Anthony says this, a time is coming when men will go mad. Men and women, they will go mad, and they will see somebody who is not mad, and they will say, you are mad because you are not like us. If we don't live in a world like that, we are living in a world that's pretty close. That people seem to have lost the grip on reality and sanity. People have started to become mad and crazy. And it's the very people who have become mad who call those who are sane mad because we are not like them. The call of wisdom is to be different. The call of wisdom is no matter what other people think, we follow Jesus Christ. And we follow Jesus Christ, and in Him is wisdom, in Him is contentment, in Him is life. Come to me, all you who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take my teaching on you. For my yoke is gentle and easy, my burden is light, and you will find rest for your souls. If you've never said yes to contentment, if you've never said yes to wisdom, if you've never said yes to the fear of the Lord, if you've never said yes to following Jesus, say yes today. Be unburdened of your sin. Know what it is to discover life that is truly willing to be called life. Come to me. Jesus, I pray for every person who hears this message, very simply, that we would make a decision, then we would respond in determination to follow you and the way of wisdom and the path to contentment, no matter what. Would we hear your voice say, come to me, and would we hear our own voice say, yes. Jesus, I pray this in your name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, and may God grant you peace, now and forever. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of each worship service on Sunday morning, I offer a simple blessing, and I offer that blessing to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, and may God grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.